Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mark King, for this show, and a guest we haven't had on in quite some time, but we always love having it on, Matt Herlicka. What's going on, man?
Yeah, just living that quarantine life.
Yeah, it is a life. And we were just talking before we started recording that as parents with younger children, the idea that they might be home in the fall and not go back to school concerns me. Like, if anybody ruins that for us parents that have had kids in our homes for like a good part of 4 months, I will not be happy. That's for sure.
Yeah, I have a little bit of sympathy for all the people trying to negotiate this return to NBA life, because it's like, if you think anything beyond like the actual day you're living that moment, you'll just drive yourself crazy thinking about all the unknowns and all the uncertainties. So, yeah.
It is crazy. I don't know. I think you're in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Where are you guys at in terms of like opening up and obviously Memphis did not go to phase three, but where are you guys at?
We, our governor was, I think, the first to open up of the states that shut down. Georgia was the first to open up. And we've been open for a while now, but open is a relative term because Fulton County shut down all their schools. So if the kids aren't in school, then a lot of the parents are working from home, and, you know, traffic's lighter and people are having to, we're actually in Roswell, which is a little bit north of Atlanta. So,
right.
I would say, honestly, on my street, like half the parents are working from home. It's like, for all intents and purposes, you know, Georgia is open and our street is like shut down.
Yeah.
All the parents are seeing each other with like these weary faces, like on our walks and stuff. And just like, when is this going to end? You know, like, let's get this together. But we should probably talk about basketball pretty soon.
Yes. People have already, if they're not turned off the podcast by now, we're getting dangerously close to them turning it off. So let's talk about basketball. We have also instituted family walks, which are getting older than old. But let's talk about basketball. Grizzlies, obviously, I was prepared to be angry for on behalf of the Grizzlies, or at least I was prepared to be irritated in terms of what the NBA was going to do when they had some type of return to basketball. But once it was all announced and I kind of parsed through it, I found myself, and I did several podcasts, I think five or six, just in terms of like Kings and Pelicans, just everybody's kind of on the bubble there. And the more I talked about it, I think the more I talked myself into being like, I think this is pretty, pretty good for the Grizzlies. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, the system that the NBA set up, you'd be hard pressed to find a team that benefited more from the system. Cause if you look at it, like, the best teams, they don't have home court anymore. Like, this system that the NBA is choosing to implement to find a champion for this season. I mean, the top seeds have less of a benefit. I mean, they don't get to play. They don't have home court.
Right.
They have to play some regular season. They don't even have the benefit of the seeding. Like, you know, some of the 4, 5, 6 like, I think there's a three-way tie for 4, 5, 6 in the West. Like, those teams have to still play it out. And then you look at the Grizzlies, and they have a 3.5 game lead with 8 games to play, you know, so you cut the season short. And then everybody's kind of been through this, but the Pelicans kind of got screwed a little bit because their schedule is so light. But, you know, only the top 22 teams are in the bubble now. So the Pelicans don't get to play any of the cupcakes that the Grizzlies already played.
Right.
So in the grand scheme of things, like if the Grizzlies, if they had chosen a different system that quote unquote screwed the Grizzlies, I would have been fine with it because you don't get to, somebody's getting screwed in this. Like there's no return to normalcy for the rest of the season. So you kind of have to make peace with the fact that the NBA is juggling a lot of masters. They're trying to serve a couple masters. They're trying to keep the players healthy, you know, so reducing the number of teams, reducing the number of the players. They're also trying to generate some revenue. So that's why we have 22 instead of, you know, just going right into the playoffs and all this stuff. And, you know, that's going to end up screwing some people. And the Grizzlies did really well in this, especially with the play-in game where they essentially get two chances to win one game against whoever the 9 seed is, if they're able to hold on to their 3.5 game lead.
Yeah, I think you're totally right in terms of just the Grizzlies getting the best. I mean, because you look at their schedule too, like their schedule went from like the hardest schedule the rest of the way to like average. Like it's not terrible, like as bad as it was
right
before. So like they went from having a really, really tough schedule to really not having that much in terms of like, you know, opportunities for the Pelicans to jump in and take the spot for them. So I'm with you. I think for the Grizzlies, if they end up on the outside looking in, then I think it will be because they deserve to be there, if that makes sense. Like
exactly.
They'll have had every opportunity to get there, and if they lose 2 games in a row in the playoff game, then that's just what it is, and you can't complain about that. I mean,
yeah,
people will complain, but
no. You get 2020. If anything, it's taught us like somebody has the right to complain. Like this has just been a terrible year. Like complain all you want. It probably won't do you any good. But just feel free, air all your grievances. It's fine. One thing I was looking at, they haven't released the schedule yet. But if they go by the next few games, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but I was looking at this like a week ago. The Grizzlies' first game is against, I think, the Kings. And if that's the case, like, if they win that game, they're probably, like, 90% to make the play-in tournament. Because they would have to get leaped by 2 different teams. And the Kings are actually one of those teams. It's either the Kings or the Trailblazers. That's like, a do-or-die game for the other team. So if they were able to win that game, like, a lot of their worst-case scenarios fall off. And it's just, like, they're going to be in the play-in tournament almost, you know, for sure. And
we also have the benefit of playing the Kings and the Pelicans, who are the ones fighting for the spot. They play the Pelicans twice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They also have that benefit of if they just win those games and there's not even a play-in tournament at all.
That's true. Yeah. Cause they essentially have to play one game better than the Blazers and the Pelicans. I think both those teams are 3.5 back. If they play one game better over 8 games, there's no play-in tournament. I mean, you just can't argue. There's so many good. The Grizzlies could be bad and still make the play. Like that's where we're at. The Pelicans and the Blazers have to be good/great to get there, and the Grizzlies can be bad over 8 games plus the play-in tournament and still luck in. Essentially, they can back in.
Yeah, absolutely. They can just be average, and they can just limp along, which was what they were doing before the season even ended. I mean, I know that, you know, there was no Jerry Jackson Jr., all that kind of stuff. But when the season actually ended, they were just limping along. So all they had to do is just continue to do what they were doing. I was personally more worried about the Kings than I was really necessarily the Pelicans at the moment when the season was ending. The Kings were playing really well. Pelicans were just okay. They were just meh. And so that would be the team I would be I was worried about more so than the Pelicans, but they're all right there in and of itself. But either way, like, you know, if the Grizzlies don't get in, it will be nothing but their own fault, in my opinion. And I think you probably tend to agree with that as well. But the good news is that the Grizzlies will likely have their full complement of players, and we'll get to see Justice Winslow for hopefully 8 games. And do you think he starts right away? I mean, do you think they have enough time with him that they feel good inserting him in the starting lineup right away? Or is it off the bench kind of for Justice Winslow?
Oh, I have no idea. Because the one thing, when you were talking, the one thing I was thinking about was these teams are going to be so different than they were.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and they're all going to be so rusty, too. You know, like,
they're going to be
so rusty.
Yeah, rusty and just – and I wonder how much – like, Coach Jenkins was so he always took Jaw out at certain, like, he kept Jaw's minutes down. He had an emphasis on spreading the ball around and, like, everybody kind of, you know, gets their shots. If you're open, shoot it. And I really wonder if that's going to change, because if it doesn't change, then I wonder if Justice is coming off the bench and is kind of like, hey, not that he has to earn his spot, but, like, you know, what we were doing was working. Like,
right.
I'm going to stick with my guys and we're going to work you in. And what does that mean for Josh Jackson? And I think this, not just for the Grizzlies, but everybody, all these teams, I think there's going to be a lot of weirdness that comes up. I think you could see, not necessarily the Grizzlies upsetting somebody, but I just think it's going to be a weird offseason or postseason / like last 8 games. I think some weird stuff is going to happen.
I think so too. Let's take a quick break. We'll pick up right where we left off with Matt after the break. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Matt Herlicka, who is a great guest on the show. We have him on several times. It's been a little bit, but that's okay. Matt's still doing his Patreon, so if you haven't subscribed to his Patreon, go do that, because excellent writing over there. I know I enjoy it whenever you put something out. So, bro, you were talking about weirdness right when you took a break there, and I thought about this right as you said that, and, like, you kind of mentioned it a little bit about some of the higher seeds earlier, but, like, what's the benefit for the Lakers in these 8 games? Like, is there a benefit other than, I mean, let's be real honest, the only reason we're playing 8 games is so the leagues can get paid. Like, that's the only reason we're playing 8 games is because of money. But is there any real benefit for the Lakers or the Bucks to play? I mean, besides, you know, the last maybe 3 games, like you see in preseason, like, is there any benefit for the LeBron to get on the court?
I mean, yeah, they're just going to be tuning up. I mean, it's just,
right. I mean, other than 3 games.
Yeah. And they have no real, like, even if they lose the one seed, like, I mean, I guess there is some, like, jockeying for position. Like, look, they're going to want to avoid the Clippers until the conference finals. But,
sure.
Like, yeah, I mean, you said it. There's not much incentive for them to, like, really put the pedal to the metal. Just get good, get back into shape. You know, get your stuff right and see you in the postseason.
Yeah. I think it's a weird, like, scenario. It's like, cause there's no, like you mentioned earlier, there's no home court. There's no, like, I don't know. Maybe you get to stay at a better resort. I don't know. You know, like there's no, like, anything there. Speaking of getting back to play, everything that's going on, what do you make of this, I guess now a lot of players have, you know, Kyrie's leading this charge, a lot of players in terms of not wanting to be a distraction from the Black Lives Matter movement. Where do you land in terms of, I feel like, I mean, I don't want to put you in a weird spot, so you don't have to answer this question, but in terms of what's going on, but I've always felt weird in terms of, like, me telling someone how to use their platform. Like, I just think it's a weird thing for me, and it might be weird for you too. I don't know, but that's just how I have landed on it. Like, it's just kind of like I just feel awkward. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not my position. I don't feel like to tell a bunch of black basketball players how they should continue to use their position in terms of what they should do coming back and using the platform for however they want. I just don't know. I have found that conversation to be, just a little strange. Like, I just don't know how we're in a position to be able to tell people of any, you know, race or color, yeah, how yeah. to use their platform.
Yeah, I sent some tweets a couple days ago and got some pushback, and I think people took it as if I was like telling people, first of all, let me clarify every tweet I've ever sent that NBA players don't give a crap about what I say.
Like, wait a minute. One. Are you telling me that, two, are you telling me that Ja does not have his notifications on for my tweets? Cause I was told that
not.
He did.
I'm, you know, I, Shocker. You know, you'd have to ask him, but I tell you, even if he does, he probably doesn't give 2 cents, you know,
he probably
about
doesn't
what,
give a shit.
You,
at
I
all.
Say.
You just say, probably doesn't
yeah,
give a
two
shit.
White guys on a podcast. Like, no. You know,
exactly.
But seriously, like I'm not going to tell. I think any player who feels as if they need to stay home for whatever reason, first for health, second, you know, and I'm not saying first and second because one's more important than the other. I'm just saying there's a lot of reasons not to go into this bubble. If you have if your, you know, wife is delivering their first kid, your first kid, and you might miss the first 2 months of this kid's life. Like that's, you know, that's significant. I would not shame a teammate if they chose to stay home because of that, like irrespective of all the other stuff going on. But with the social justice movement in particular, I really feel like the players who decide to play this game, these games have a rare chance to have the entire sports world focused on them. And one thing I think the players have a rare bit of leverage here to basically the league is trying to scrap together revenue. The entire restart is about revenue. They brought 22 teams in and they're playing 8 games to fulfill the regional sports network contracts to get as much revenue as possible. The owners are pretty much going to let you do whatever you want as long as you play these games. So extract every promise that you can out of them. And that really is what, like getting the system, quote unquote, and getting powerful people to bend to your will is part of this movement. And I think it sends an important message. I get the optics of, hey, we're going to send a bunch of predominantly black players into a bubble and we're going to make them play and entertain us. I get that part of the optics, but the opposite part of the optics is these black players chose to play a game, risk their health in front of a bunch of people who, like, nobody else is playing games right now.
Right.
And also they're getting the owners to, and I think some pushback, some messaging from the players is coming forth on this, and they got the owners to commit to X, Y, and Z that is going to further their, like, real substantive things, not just like we're going to issue a statement. And that really is powerful and will make substantive change. So I think that actually staying home, you're essentially abdicating your power. You're saying, I don't want this power. You know, that would be, if I was a player, that would be the argument that I make, not just the money, just saying we're athletes. Most people don't care what we think outside of the arena. Let's go into the arena and let's have a unified message. But also if one of my players, one of the teammates didn't think that way, I wouldn't shame them. And I wouldn't, like, that's their choice. Every person has their own personal choice. So anyway, back on the Twitter war, like who the hell cares? Like if somebody's sending a tweet as if they can tell a player what to do, like that person just needs to go home and stick their head in the sand. Like it's just like,
yeah,
what are you even doing?
It has been a weird, like, I haven't really, I said off Twitter for the past little bit or today. I just find it very strange and odd when I see a bunch of white dudes, like people that I regularly read nationally. And it's like, you're just not, what, now we're like making fun of Kyrie because he wants to stand for something? Like, I just think that's weird.
Listen, I made fun of him. I was one of the people that made fun of him. But in fairness to me, Kyrie is ridiculous. And,
that part of it, like, I don't care. Like, cause Kyrie says just dumb shit all the time. Like,
exactly.
So if you're like, if you're like, all right, like I get like Kyrie is not the fake, like, it's not like you would, if you're like the players, like, okay, we should probably have someone else. I mean, I get it, but it's also just a weird situation where you have a collective group of, like you mentioned, predominantly black players. And if that's something they so choose to do, then you're right. Like, right. I'm not in the business of shaming those people. Like, and no matter who you are, like, if you're a coworker of mine, you say, look, man, I don't feel like coming to the office because I think it, I just don't want to do that because I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm not in the business of shaming people in terms of what they shouldn't do, but for their families or for their beliefs or anything like that. And I've seen a lot of it over the past week since a lot of this come out, and it has made me feel very icky in terms of just how I view it. So that's just kind of the way I look at it. But
I just let me have my jokes. I can have my jokes. also like be supportive of the larger movement. You know, it's we need a little bit of levity. It is, you have to admit, it is hilarious that predominantly the two big voices that have been come out and said, like, we're kind of skeptical of this whole bubble. It's Kyrie and it's Dwight Howard.
Oh, absolutely. Like, no. Yeah. I mean, I have made fun of Kyrie so much for this dumb shit he says all the time.
Pretty
like
funny.
He is a ridiculous person, period. And also, and that's why it also probably boils down to, like, if LeBron, like, what is it? Patrick Beverly tweeted, like, if LeBron and Jay Stars are playing, we're playing. Like, it's just what it is. Yeah. Like, you can say anything you want, Kyrie, but if the King says we're playing. And I think largely that's probably what will happen. But I tweeted this, I think, a couple of days ago. I was like, look, if the NBA players decide to take a united stand and say we're not playing until we get some change, then that's quite the protest in terms of, like, we're all looking forward to this, and they're like, no, never mind. We're going to do something different. And whether that's for Black Lives Matter, whether that's for something they want, you know, they're not getting in terms of money, revenue sharing, anything. They are in a position that is a very, I wouldn't say between a rock and a hard place, because it's a position of power. But at the same time, if the owners call your bluff and say, let's just cancel the season, then the large majority of it, what's going to hurt will be the players. It will not be the owners. The owners don't care.
Well, I kind of disagree on that. And I'll tell you, let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
So, you know, there's been a little bit of pushback from the owner side. A couple of the national media guys have floated the idea that the owners will, you know, void the CBA if for whatever reason they can't come to an agreement and finish the season. I don't think that will happen. And I think that the players and the owners both stand to lose equal amounts of money, not only because, first of all, the revenue is split 50-50, essentially 50-50. So let's just put that aside. That is equal, but let's put that aside. You have a ton of owners that have bought in the last, I would say, probably 5 to 6 years. A lot of the owners have bought in at high. So you're talking about guys like the Microsoft dude that bought the Clippers, that bought them for over $2 billion. Like, if basketball doesn't finish this year, first of all, that is the first time in the history of the NBA that we haven't crowned a champion. So that's number one. Then number two, you go directly into a lockout during Black Lives Matter. You have a bunch of white owners telling a bunch of black millionaires, stay at home. Like, we want more money from you. I don't know what the politics of whenever the 2020-21 season will start, but right now that politics looks really bad. I think the players have a significant amount of leverage. I don't think the owners would void the CBA. And I think a lot, like, think about Tillman Fertitta. Like, he's already crying. He took out, like, a huge line of credit. The NBA as a unit took out a massive amount of line of credit to essentially float operations for their owners.
Yeah.
The owners stand to lose. Like, imagine if a painting hanging on your wall, it was worth, you bought it for $2 billion. And through no fault of your own, like, let's just say the painter turned out to be a huge racist and nobody wanted to buy that painting anymore.
Let's just, for the sake of clarity, say it's a Confederate general.
Sure, sure. It is now worth, you might be lucky to get 100 to 200 million out of it. Like, it lost 90% of its value. Like, that matters. And yeah, if basketball goes away, not just for the rest of this year, like, you presided, you in part presided over that. Going forward, you don't want to lose the next year, because if basketball goes away 18 months, like, the NFL is not going away and other stuff is not going away. And some of these markets, like, think about OKC. If basketball goes away from Oklahoma City, forget that. Atlanta, I'll tell you what happens. The Atlanta Hawks are completely irrelevant. Like, they have no, if it goes away for 18 months, this market, which is huge, does not care. We move on. We watch Atlanta United. We watch other stuff. Like, the Hawks basically might as well not exist until like 2028. And they have one of the most exciting players in the league, you know, young players.
Yeah.
So I do think that the owners are facing a real, like, I think the players, I'm not going to say the players have more leverage, but in terms of owners will be fine. I mean, even think about the Golden State Warriors. I know I'm rambling here, but Golden State Warriors, if basketball goes away this year and next, like, Steph is going to be 32. Klay Thompson will be 32. Like, can they win a title? I mean, or if you nuke next year too, is Golden State, like, is that owner never going to win another title?
Right.
He's not going to sign up for that.
Yeah.
That's the long rambling thing, you know.
And I want to continue to talk about it, because I think that you're right, but I also want to clarify a few things. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to do that. One of the awesome sponsors for this show is Blinkist. Blinkist is super unique. Works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down in just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. 12 million people using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. It has everything. Blinkist has all the latest titles from the bestseller list, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always wanted to read, but never had the time to do it. I like Blinkist because it's super easy to use in the car when I'm on road trips or if I'm just driving around town, because these things only take 15 minutes to go through the key takeaways from the best books. That's why I like Blinkist so much. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want to, all for one low price. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for my audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA. Try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/MBA to start your free 7-day trial. It's free. There's no reason not to do it. And on top of all that, you're also going to save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible to stock every single part you need at a traditional chain auto parts store. Why endure some seemingly intimidating questioning from somebody on the opposite side of the counter when you could just look up all the things you need to know with a computer at home? That computer has access to rockauto.com. It has it in the computer at your home, the desktop, the laptop, and even the smartphone in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is just to save money. Sometimes you can save 30, 50, even 100% off from the parts that they buy in the warehouse. Sometimes they're just too expensive for what they're trying to ask for. And why? What better motivator than just to save money? You can use that money for anything else that you want to. Your mortgage, the food, the extra nights out with the kids, anything. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and people like you and me. RockAuto.com, their prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than chasing prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It does not require membership or account login. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Let's get back to that conversation with Matt Herlicka.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Matt Herlicka, Patreon writer, I guess that's what you call it, a Patreon patron. Go subscribe to his Patreon. It's great. But I want to pick up right where we left off in terms of I think you're right in terms of what the owners will lose. But monetarily, I think it would be more detrimental to the playoffs long term than it would be. And if that's if they did tear up the CBA. And I think you're right. I don't think that would happen either. Like, I think this whole like scare tactic of, well, if we don't play all these, the CBA is just going away and we're done. Like, I think that is a bit of fear mongering in terms of what the media is putting out there.
It's almost like the second they said it, it's like, the fact that you, it's almost like as both of us being parents, the second that you threaten a punishment, it's like, yeah, you really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, let's, you know, anyway, exactly. Go ahead.
I told my son I was going to take away his iPad today. And I'm like, ah, I don't really want to. Cause like, then I have to like parent. Yeah. Cause that's more of a punishment for me. I think in terms of will the owners hurt? Yes, I think they will. But monetarily, most of their money comes from TV, which will still always be there. Like, it's never going to go away. But, you know, like, I think long term, if something happened, I think it would be more detrimental to the players and the minimum, you know, the medium players in the league, the Dylan Brooks of the world, LeBron James, you know, Dwight Owens, and someone said that a piece from Ed Davis in it, you know, he kind of mentions like Dwight Howard's in his $30 million mansion. He's good. And LeBron James, they're good. Kyrie Irving's in the same boat. They're good. But in terms of those different levels of players, that's, I think, the person that's going to hurt the most. If that did happen, I don't think it will. And I think, yes, the owners will be put in a bad spot for ticketing, for terms of relevancy, in terms of like you mentioned, players getting older, like winning, like all the things that matter to owners. They care about winning. Most of these owners are, you know, obviously they own these sports teams as in terms of just something to do for fun because they're millionaires and that's what they do. But that's what they will look forward to, is do they have a chance at these things? And if they don't, do they move on? Maybe. I don't know. But at the same time, like, it's not something, you know, a sports team is not something you just dump. It's not something to be like, oh, I'm just going to sell my car and move on. Like, it's not like a quick process, you know? So like, I just think that if that did happen, I, for me, that's just my personal opinion. I think that would be more detrimental to the players, but I think you're right in this scenario that I think they have more leverage right now in terms of what the season could look like going forward.
Yeah. So your argument is the classic player, you know, it's millionaires versus billionaires. Who's going to run out of money first?
Sure.
So I agree with that. I'm just saying, as opposed to any other point in the history of the NBA, like, this is the moment where the players have arguably as much leverage as the owners, because really what it is, it's not even leverage. It's that incentives are aligned. Both the players and the owners are trying to recoup as much money as possible, because both of them kind of understand the financial realities. And at this point, the owners aren't going to stand in the way. If you want to kneel in front during the national anthem, like, they're going to let you kneel. Like, if you want to if you want to do anything for, they're going to give you pretty much anything you want to. So take as much as you can get as much concession and buy in. And if you can get them to, you know, like, for instance, like, all NBA fines go to nonprofits. If you can get all those NBA fines to go to like Black community, you know, bail system, like bail payments for,
right.
For,
yeah. Like protesters,
know, people.
Like
just
like
any,
yeah.
pick your good to great charity that would focus on Black Lives Matter and funnel all that money there, like that would do more for this than them not playing, in my opinion. But you know, I think we're on the same page. It's just that we, you know, the difference, it's tough to suss out who has quote unquote more leverage, but we can both agree the incentives are aligned to get the season started and generate revenue, and then the players can take that and say, like, you know, give us some things on the edge. You don't, the owners don't really care about that stuff. The owners just want to play games and make money and like see the owners of the good teams want to see their team win the championship. Like, that's all it's all about.
All those owners care about, like you mentioned, is playing and making money. Like, at the end of the day, all they want to do is play these eight games. That's why they're there. Like, that is the only reason that we're playing eight games. It's because of money. Like, there's, if we had played 71 games and the season had been called off, we would be going straight to the playoffs. There would be none of this.
Yeah.
We got to get a primer. We got to let people jockey for a position. No one gives a shit about the Grizzlies don't make the playoffs at the eighth seed, because let's be honest, all the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and Kings are playing for is a chance to get their ass beat by the Lakers. That's it. Like, that's all they're doing.
So with that, when you say that, let me ask you a question. If you had the choice between going directly to the playoffs and doing this eight game thing, you know, with the play-in game, which one would you like to see as a fan? Would you rather have the guaranteed, like, we're in the playoffs, I'm ready to play the Lakers, or would you rather have the eight game thing?
I would have rather played the group stage game, because that gave me more games to watch as a Grizzlies fan.
No, you don't get that choice.
Okay, so that, I say that to say that I would rather have this format of what we're doing now with games. I want the Grizzlies and Ja and Jaren and Dylan and all those young guys, I want them to play as many games that matter as we can. And if these eight games are every time you go out, it's like, look, we got to win a game or we're going to be bumped out of here. Or to go to the play-in tournament and look, we have to win one of these games to get to the playoffs. And the playoffs, you have to win one of these games to extend the series. Like, I want all that for those young guys, because I know that the Grizzlies aren't going to do anything. This isn't like a team that's going to try to win a championship. I mean, that would be awesome if they somehow found a way to upset the Lakers. We'd all be ecstatic. Yeah. But that's just not the reality. The reality is that it's a young team and you want them to get better. And the best way you can get for them to get better is play games that matter on a nightly basis. And if you don't win, you're gone. Those are the times that you really see people, what they can do in terms of when it matters most.
It's wild to say, like, yeah, you know, I'd like to fight for it rather than being in the playoffs. But seriously, if you were just going, if we were about to restart and we were going through, we're going to start seeing videos of them like in training camp and all this stuff. If all we had to look forward to was a probable 4 or 5 game loss to the Lakers,
yeah,
it would kind of feel like a little anticlimactic. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that we have to fight for it and we get eight games that are going to be pretty intense, and there's going to be a lot of standings watching, you know, like, oh man, you know, like the Kings lost, but the Pelicans won. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're 4.5 games over them, but 3.5 games. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like you said, they're going to get a lot of really crucial reps, and whether getting back to one of your other questions before, like whether Winslow starts or he comes off the bench, like just getting him, just seeing him actually play with the Grizzlies is going to be really interesting.
Absolutely. And then Grayson Allen will be back too. I mean, like all those guys are going to, I mean,
did they announce that? Is he going to be, I thought, I didn't know.
He hasn't, they haven't announced it. No, but, he had, you know, he's been a lot of social media commenting in the comments.
Okay.
So I'll say Grayson, I'll be back. But I would say, like, Grayson Allen has led us all to believe that he'll be back. I'll put it like that.
Did you just break news, or am I just not up on the Instagram and Twitter?
No, I didn't break news. That's been that's been out there, or at least from I've seen anyway.
My bad.
Maybe I'm breaking news for some people. I don't know. If you don't follow,
you broke
social
news
media,
to me, Mark. You broke news to me. I did.
If
not,
you don't follow Grayson Allen on Instagram, then maybe I'm breaking news to you.
Yeah, my Instagram is pretty. I try to keep it pretty basketball free. I follow the Grizzlies and some of the key players, but
I don't really follow Grayson Allen on Instagram. But I have people that text me those things though, like, "Hey, did you see this?"
I gotcha.
Because like my Instagram is like dogs, pets, and video stuff, because that's the field I work in. So anyway, you know, like it'll be fun to see, like you mentioned, just all those guys get back together. Like what does those rotations look like with a full complement of players? Even if Grayson Allen for some reason isn't back, like what is it with a full, you know, DeAnthony Melton, Justice, like, you know, all those guys together, what does it look like? Like, that's I'm curious to see, because we haven't had that. Like, all year long, we haven't had that. You know, obviously Justice never played, and then Jaren was hurt, and then Brandon got hurt, and then Grayson, you know, like, that hasn't happened yet. So that'll be interesting to see. Matt, I appreciate you joining me. We've talked for over 30 minutes. So I appreciate you coming on. I think it was a fun, lively discussion about the NBA and what will happen or what might happen in terms of the players coming back. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully we get some basketball July 30th.
I am hoping for some basketball. I need something in my life besides just swimming at the pool every day. So, I hope we get basketball. I think soccer is going to be back July 11th for July 8th for MLS. So that'll be at least fun to watch. I'm a big soccer fan. I know you are too. So I will be excited to watch the USL team here in Memphis play and be a part of those broadcasts. So that'll be fun too. So, again, if you're not already subscribed to Matt's Patreon, go do that. Matt, is it pinned in your Twitter bio yet? Is it pinned?
I think it's my pinned tweet.
Okay.
I've been off Twitter a little bit. I've been lurking but not tweeting very much. Yeah. So
It's Matt's pinned tweet. Go check it out. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, go do that. I think are you still giving 50% to charity?
Yeah, and last month I did a Twitter giveaway and I bought five people books from by black authors from a black owned a female black owned bookstore in Chicago. I found one, and so we placed all those orders and I got a couple notifications that said, "Hey, I got my book." Like, awesome. So yeah, we still give it away. That was like the loosest interpretation of charity, but I thought it was, you know.
Yeah.
Given the times, like, I thought it was a good thing. So we also did a couple other. I don't like to really publicize where I give the money, but we do still give 50% to at least 50% charity. Yeah, yeah,
that's all that matters. A lot of people in this world need help, and as long as we're helping, that's all that matters. Speaking of help, the Locked On Podcast Network is determined to make a difference as well. So during the month of June, we are matching all donations up to $10,000 to Black Lives Matter. So I personally am matching every donation that anybody makes to Black Lives Matter up to $200. So if you make a donation, hit me with a receipt and I will make that same donation. So make sure you go and donate. Send me the receipts for your big, large, small donations, and we will get those matched from either myself or the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt, I appreciate you joining me. If not, I've subscribed to this podcast. Make sure you go do so as well.